Good job, good job. That's what I'm talking about.
So you want to have the same stance no matter what you're doing.
Look, then we saw him.
The Cat in the Hat.
Go Giants!
Let's go, Big Blue Nation.
I'm with my son, Bentley. We're here at LSU.
One more time, guys.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. I'm Bob Papa in the field house at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. On this show, we're going to take a look at the Giants stars of the 60s. Now, the early part of the decade had the Giants competing for NFL championships. The latter part of the decade, not so much as a team, but some great players. To get things started, we'll look at Joe Morrison, Tucker Fredrickson, and Pete Gogolak. Joe Morrison debuted for the Giants in 1959 as a running back and wide receiver. Morrison played his college ball at the University of Cincinnati, where he was a halfback, quarterback, and defensive player. Morrison's career spanned three different decades with the Giants, and in his 14 seasons with the team, he played six different positions. In the late 1960s, Morrison would be a dominant figure and one of the bright stars of the team, registering five seasons with over 40 receptions. He hauled in 395 career catches from seven different quarterbacks, including Charlie Connerly, Y.A. Tittle, Earl Morrall, and Fran Tarkenton.
And of course, old dependable number 40, Joe Morrison.
Morrison earned the nickname Old Dependable because of his versatility and willingness to play any position, including defense and kick returner. Over his career, Morrison accounted for almost 5,000 total yards. He finished his career in 1972 with 65 total touchdowns, and he is still fourth on the Giants' all-time receiving list. His number 40 is one of only 12 jerseys retired by Big Blue, and in 2010, he was inducted into the inaugural New York Giants Ring of Honor. In 1965, the New York Giants selected Tucker Fredrickson with the first overall pick in the NFL draft. Tucker was a two-way star at Auburn University, and in his senior year, he was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy.
Seidel pitches out to the left halfback. Fredrickson gets the block, goes to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Tucker Fredrickson!
1965, there were some pretty good athletes that came out of that group. Butkus, Sayers, Namath. I was scared to death, especially being the number one in the whole league. I had so many good friends that it made the whole transition easy. Joe Morrison, Alex Webster, Allie Sherman was the coach at the time. So, you know, after the first scrimmage, I knew that I could play at that level.
In 1965, the Giants were looking to rebuild the team after posting a 2-10-1 record the season before. And Tucker was the featured back in a stable of runners that the media had nicknamed the Baby Bulls.
After the 1963 season, sports writers, everybody was looking for something that they could talk about with the Giants. There was this group of running backs they called the Baby Bulls. It was Tucker Fredrickson, Steve Thurlow, Ernie Coy, Ernie Wheelwright, Chuck Mersine. This was one thing that offered a lot of promise because these were big, strong, young guys. And this was supposedly going to be the new hope for the New York Giants.
In his rookie season, Tucker led the Giants with 659 yards and five touchdowns and earned a trip to the Pro Bowl. But the following year, he suffered a severe knee injury that hobbled him for the remainder of his career.
You know, as you know, I got hurt the second year, and I sort of muddled along the rest of the time. But I thank the Lord that I was drafted by the Giants. It was a great experience being in New York and work and playing for the Giants and the Mara family.
In 1966, the New York Giants signed Hungarian-born kicker Pete Gogolak. Gogolak came to the United States with his family following the Hungarian Revolution in 1956 and played college football in the Ivy League at Cornell University. Before signing with the Giants, he played his first two seasons of professional football with the Buffalo Bills of the then American Football League, making him the first player to jump from the AFL to the NFL.
Pete Gogolak was an underappreciated pioneer.
I jumped leagues, actually. I was the first guy jumping from the AFL to the NFL and signed with the Giants. Since back in those days, the two leagues were in constant war, this created quite a commotion. But basically, I was just a little player who wanted to play football and do my thing, you know.
Gogolak is widely considered the chief figure behind the game's adoption of soccer-style place-kicking. And this seemingly subtle shift in a relatively minor part of the game would bring about some major changes.
The soccer-style kicking changed the game to the point they had to move the goalposts back.
A consistent and accurate kicker, Gogolak spent 9 seasons with the Giants and is the team's all-time points leader with 646. He holds the Giants franchise records for most points after touchdowns attempted, most made, and during one stretch, he converted on 133 consecutive extra points. He's considered a pioneer that helped change the game both on and off the field. And in 2010, he was inducted into the inaugural New York Giants Ring of Honor. Welcome back to Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota, as we look back at Giants stars of the 60s. In this segment, we focus in on head coach Allie Sherman and quarterback Fran Tarkenton. In 1961, the New York Giants named Allie Sherman head coach.
Put your eyes in your hands. That's why those drills were on you. Put them in there now. Make sure. Nail it in. You don't get them in these kind of drills, it's going to be tougher in the game.
I don't care how much you know about football. If you show me you can't hit, you don't belong here. You better get in here angry, both sides, and let's go to work. Now get it up.
Sherman served as the Giants' offensive coordinator in 1959 and 1960. And he gained a reputation for designing complex offensive schemes that made defenses dizzy.
A quarterback must be an actor. He must try to lure or bait these defensive linemen into chasing him.
Sherman led the Giants to the NFL championship game in his first 3 seasons as head coach. And he earned Coach of the Year honors in 1961 and 1962. The first time any coach was awarded the honor in back-to-back seasons. And in 8 seasons as head coach, Sherman compiled a record of 57-54-1. Always the groundbreaker, Sherman added 2 former Giants players to his staff. In 1965, Emlyn Tennell was brought on as a defensive backs coach, and in 1966, Rosie Brown was hired to coach the offensive line, making the 2 future Hall of Famers the first African-American assistant coaches in NFL history. And in 1967, with New York coming off a dismal 1-12 season, the Giants acquired quarterback Fran Tarkenton from the Minnesota Vikings, giving Sherman the perfect player to orchestrate his elaborate offensive game plans.
We gave them the #1 pick for that given year coming up, and the following year, the #1 pick. And the same thing with the number two for that year and the following year. And said, we're going to get Tarkenton. If we get to be a better ball club, it'll be worth it to us.
That team in New York, that first year that I was there, we finished 7-7. That was the finest accomplishment of any of my 18 years of professional football. They was a ragamuffin team that played hard and played together, had heart and had soul. Allie did a great job with that team. And for us to be 7-7 was like being 14-0 with any other team. It was the best year any team that I played on had ever had. We spread the field. We put men in motion. We had nobody in the backfield. And the reason we had to do this is that we didn't have a big offensive line. So we had to use the short passing game to be our running game. The West Coast offense, as we know it today, was absolutely started in New York, and they let me be a part of that architecture, and we had more fun with it.
Many people have asked me how I got started scrambling. Well, really, I think it all started when I used to watch NFL football on television, and I used to watch the quarterbacks go back and throw from the pocket 7 yards deep, and if things were going right, they would throw the ball, get their completions, and usually their team would win. But if the rush was getting by their offensive lineman or the receivers were being covered, they just would stay in the pocket and take the 7 or 8 yard loss. My philosophy has always been if I have a rush and my linemen do break down occasionally, which all of them do break down sometimes, then I will try to get out of the pocket and move around, and try to find an opening and a receiver downfield and still get something out of the play. We never practiced the scramble because really we only use the scramble maybe three times a game on an average. Many people don't believe this because when they see films of me playing football, they always see the films of me in a scramble situation. But it was a weapon for us, and sometimes it was effective, and sometimes, like anything, it wasn't as effective as we would have liked.
His scrambling, gambling style added an entirely new dimension to the New York attack. In his five seasons with Big Blue, Tarkenton threw for a total of 13,905 yards and 103 touchdowns, and was named first team All-Pro four times. And although he only posted a 33-36 record as a starter, Tarkenton provided the Giants faithful with thrilling highlights and memorable moments that fans still talk about to this day. Welcome back to Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. You know, the Giants had some outstanding defensive backs in the 50s and in the 60s. Here's a look back at Jimmy Patton, Dick Lynch, Erich Barnes, and Spider Lockhart. Jimmy Patton was an eighth-round pick in 1955 out of the University of Mississippi. He was a tough, smart defensive back with surprising quickness that caught opposing quarterbacks off guard. Known as a relentless ball hawk, Patton always seemed to be in the right position at just the right time. In his 12-year career, he amassed 52 interceptions, which ranked second on the Giants' all-time list. Patton was named first-team All-Pro five times, and he also played in five consecutive Pro Bowls from 1958 to 1962. He also played in six NFL championship games. Patton also excelled on special teams. He was the first player in NFL history to return both the punt and a kickoff for a touchdown in the same game. Dick Lynch was another standout defensive back for the Giants during the 1960s. Before coming to the Giants, Dick was a standout player at Notre Dame. In 1957, he was an integral part of one of the greatest upsets in college football history.
Here's the play of the game, and Sooner fans are shocked. Dick Lynch behind Pietro Santi's bone-crushing block sweeps into the end zone for a touchdown. Notre Dame snaps Oklahoma's 47-game winning streak and hands the Sooners their first shutout in 124 consecutive games.
Lynch was acquired by the Giants in 1959 from the Washington Redskins, and his impact on the secondary was felt immediately. In 1961 and 1963, Lynch led the NFL in interceptions, and in his Pro Bowl season of 1963, he returned three interceptions for touchdowns.
Dick Lynch could cover, and cover very, very well. He was a great teammate, probably the best corner covering man-to-man that's ever been in the National Football League.
He was just a tough guy, and that's how he played, whether it was against the enemy or against his own teammates. And he was that way. Of maybe all the players that I have known, he was right up there with the tops. The one that got the most out of his physical ability, his mental ability, and by getting the most out of it, he became arguably one of the best cornerbacks that's ever played this game.
As Dick's playing career winded down in 1966, he was ready to embark on a second career in football as a broadcaster. And his effervescent personality and colorful style made Dick Lynch a natural.
Dick had a totally unique broadcasting style. I loved it. Cracked me up. I couldn't believe it. But he made it interesting. He made it amusing. He made it colorful.
I can't tell the folks out there who listen to this game how almost impossible it is for a field goal kicker to line up, look over there and say, I got to put the ball through those two pipes. You're kidding me.
Roz has to go to this game, you know. They won last week, so she's back again. She thinks she's the reason that they won.
During a broadcast, you always knew where Dick's heart was, right behind his beloved Big Blue.
Snap, spot, kick is away, it's got the distance, it is good, good,
and the
good.
Giants are going to Tampa Bay, it's over for the three-peats, it's over.
And this is what the Giant organization is all about. It's a family group, right from the top, right to the bottom. I'm on the bottom. Well, I'll tell you, it's great to be part of it. They're a great, great group.
Hole number 22 had a 50-year association with the only team he ever loved, the New York Football Giants. And Giants fans loved him back as well. In 2010, he was inducted into the inaugural New York Giants Ring of Honor. Though Erich Barnes was only on the Giants for four seasons, he made the Pro Bowl each year and was a staple on a defense that led the Giants to the title game 3 years in a row, from 1961 to 1963. Known as an aggressive physical player, Barnes had 18 interceptions in four seasons with the Giants, seven of them returned for touchdowns. And in 1961 against the Cowboys, his 102-yard return for a touchdown on an interception tied an NFL record at the time.
The Giants take their fourth straight on the road as they crush Dallas 31-10.
In the 1962 NFL Championship game against the Green Bay Packers in New York, Barnes set up the Giants' only score.
Barnes charges and blocks the kick. The free ball is recovered by Jim Collier in the end zone.
He was a six-time Pro Bowler. And in 1961, he led the NFL with seven interceptions and was named first-team All-Pro. In 1965, the Giants drafted two defensive backs that would shore up their pass defense for years to come. Cornerback Willie Williams out of Grambling State and free safety Spider Lockhart from North Texas. Williams was a quick, athletic corner, and he totaled 35 interceptions in eight seasons for the Giants. In 1968, he led the league with 10 picks and was named to the Pro Bowl the following year in 1969. Carl Spider Lockhart was a talented safety, well known for his big playability. In his 11-year career with the Giants, Spider played in 145 games and had 41 career interceptions and recovered 16 fumbles. He was a hard-hitting defender who also excelled as a punt returner and is famous for almost never calling for a fair catch. In 1966, he was selected to the Pro Bowl despite the Giants having the worst defensive team in points allowed per game in NFL history. In 1968, he made his second Pro Bowl appearance and led the league in defensive touchdowns. Welcome back to Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. The Giants have always been known as a running team, but they've had some dynamic playmakers at wide receiver. In this segment, we'll take a look at Del Schaffner and Homer Jones. In 1961, the New York Giants obtained wide receiver Del Schaffner in a trade with the Los Angeles Rams. That same year, the Giants signed veteran quarterback Y.A. Tittle, and the refrain, Tittle to Schaffner, would be a phrase heard by Giants fans over and over and over again.
I remember Y.A. Tittle when he was throwing passes to Del Schaffner.
Well, Del Schaffner was a receiver that could run faster than the wind. And he had a great pair of hands. Had a lot of confidence in him. He could not fake anybody. He could just outrun them. But he could catch.
In a 1962 contest against the Washington Redskins, Schaffner had one of the greatest receiving games in franchise history. On a day when quarterback Y.A. Tittle threw for 505 yards and an NFL record-tying seven touchdown passes, Schaffner had 11 receptions for 269 yards and one score. In 1964, the Giants signed wide receiver Homer Jones after he was cut by the Houston Oilers following a severe knee injury. A football and track star at Texas Southern University, Jones was one of the fastest wide receivers ever to play in the NFL. He stood 6 feet 2 inches tall and weighed 220 pounds, and his size and speed made him a dual threat never before seen in the game. He was tough to tackle and nearly impossible to catch in the open field. And he's credited with being the inventor of the NFL's most popular end zone celebration, the spike.
Well, I had always said that when I made my first touchdown, I was going to throw the ball in the stands. And in the meantime, I had forgotten that they changed the rules on the off season. That I think it was a $500 fine for throwing the ball in the stands. And as I crossed the goal line, my intentions and my ambition was always to throw that ball in the stand. But I thought about that $500, and it came down, I threw it on the ground. So that was the original spike right there, the origin of it.
In 1966, Homer hauled in a 98-yard touchdown pass, the second longest touchdown pass in Giants history. And his career average of 22.3 yards per catch still ranks as the highest in NFL history.
We hope you enjoyed your look back at the stars of the 1960s from the New York Football Giants. Make sure you follow the Giants on Facebook.com/New York Giants, on Twitter at Giants, and Giants.com. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota.
Giants Access Blue is brought to you in part by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New York Giants. MetLife. Get a free quote and apply online in less than 10 minutes. Visit MetLife.com/life today.